Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfoe. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Swinging a line drive, base hit into left. That drops in, Judge is in. Here comes Hicks. The throw from Travis comes in, but far too late. And the New York Yankees are in front today. A two-run single deep to right. Betts on the run, won't get it. It's out of the warning track, and that'll skip up into the stands for a ground rule double, his second double in the inning. So that'll bring in a couple of runs. Yankees continue to add on. That'll make it 9-4.
He hits a rocket to deep right center. And that ball is gone. Well over the fence, just to the right of the 382 marker. Gregorius goes deep. It's 12-4.
Here it comes, and a swing and a miss. Strike three. Three straight K's for Chapman. The Yankees win the London series. They sweep both games. The final in this one, New York 12 and Boston 8.
So the fine folks out in London saw 50 runs scored over two games, and they saw two Red Sox losses, Jermaine Wiggins. Reamer and Wiggy here till 4 o'clock, 617-779-7937. Jay Wiggs, how long have you been here, melting in that chair, waiting for this ball game to end here?
Yeah, I probably got here, was maybe the bottom of the seventh.
Oh, so you saw it all. Saw yeah. Lots of ball.
Yeah, because when I left my house, the Sox were up 4-2, and they just pulled E-Rod out of the game.
Just pulled E-Rod, right, in the sixth.
Yeah. I was like, all right, you know, it is what it is.
But with this bullpen, though, you knew that it wasn't going to end 4-2. You knew the Yankees were going to put some runs up on the board. Maybe not nine.
After seeing the runs that both teams put up yesterday, and then I'm like, all right, it's baseball. I'm flipping through some other stuff. You know, it is what it is. I'll come back a little bit later.
Yep.
Get in the truck, you know. Listened just a little bit and decided to kind of tune over and listen to something else. Before I knew it, the Red Sox were down.
Blink and you miss it. This Red Sox bullpen will give up a lead in a hurry, as they did today. And I know NBA free agency starts at 6, Wiggy, but people are rightfully, I think, just so disgusted with the Red Sox and the way that this game went down today. Their third blown lead like this over the last 8 days. You go last Saturday in Toronto, you blow a 6-run lead to the awful Blue Jays. They're going to lose 100 games. Then Barnes gives up the game-winning homer to Jose Abreu the other day here at Fenway Park to wrap up that series against the mediocre White Sox. And then today, you know, Alex Cora said it after the game to the Red Sox reporters. He's absolutely right. This weekend was eye-opening for the Boston
Red
Sox.
So that means it's time to trade
it's
everybody.
It's over. No. No.
Wait a second.
Get relievers. Get another arm or two. Get these guys in here, Wiggy.
Well, you just said it was over.
In the division. They're down 11 in the division.
Right.
The division 2.5 back in the wild card.
I said this a month ago. The division is Dunsky.
Oh, the division is absolutely Dunsky. There's no doubt about it. But this is a team that now has 17 blown saves on the year. They've blown 8 games, I believe it is, in which they've been leading after 7. If you win just, you know, 4 or 5 more games like that, you have 49-50 wins. You're leading in a wild card spot. It has been professional negligence on Dave Dombrowski's part for not getting more relievers, not filling Kimbrel, not replacing Kelly. The only reliever they added to their roster this offseason was Colton Brewer.
So
that's it.
So then you want them to buy heavy.
Not buy heavy, just get two guys who can throw. How about that?
Are there two guys out there that can get
anybody. Yes, Sergio Romo with the Marlins, Shane Green with the Tigers. Tons of teams are out. Tons of teams are projected to lose 95-100 games. Tons of teams, as you know, Wiggy, don't even want to make the playoffs in baseball. Mm-hmm. There are relievers out there. It is embarrassing. You're the Red Sox. You have the highest payroll in the game, and this is what you're throwing out there? Marcus Walden? Are you kidding me?
So you're buying for the one-game play-in.
I am buying for the one game play-in right now. Yes. Now, another week of this? Maybe not. Maybe you have no choice but to sell. The Red Sox may be at that point. But with a $240 million payroll, with the talent still on this team, yes, the Boston Red Sox should not. They have to. They should have gotten relievers a month ago. I mean, it's that embarrassing. Marcus Walden is a 30-year-old rookie who, unsurprisingly, is coming crashing down to earth here in June. I mean, Walden facing Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez. How did anyone think that was going to end today? Of course it ended, you know, in a disaster.
Well, I think it's very simple for the Red Sox. It's time to sell everything on.
Everything.
Yes, because when you look at the Red Sox, right, you're chasing a one-game wild card, kind of one-game playing wild card, and who knows if they even make it, right?
Well, they're 2.5 out now.
There's a bunch of teams around them,
and
right?
There's two ahead of them.
So you got to look at it like this. And then everybody talks about, okay, what are the pieces that you have to sell off? Let's go to the biggest piece that you have, which is Mookie Betts.
Right.
So we know that there's probably a good chance that they don't make the postseason this year. And even if they do make it, how far do we expect them to go? Do we think we expect them to go far?
It depends on how they're playing. If they're playing at their best, yeah, they absolutely could.
So I guess maybe
with Sale and Price.
I think the way that we saw this team, they're not playing very well. Their hitting's not there. I'd say that, you know, David Price has been pitching well. He's a guy that you know you can count on in the postseason. But I think you're at this point now. Mookie Betts got one more year left on his deal. So if nothing happens with this year, you basically got him for 1 year. So you're going to move on from him next year.
Well, I'm of the belief that the Red Sox have more money than pretty much anybody. They can sign whoever they want to sign.
But why haven't they got that done?
I don't know why they haven't approached Mookie Betts with a market value offer.
Do you think they've approached him this season and said, hey, we want to sign Mookie Betts long term?
That has not been reported. The last reported offer we had to Mookie Betts was last year, $200 million, start of spring training.
Okay, so they offered,
which was under market value,
right? So, but do you think that in sports, generally, the same way we saw with the Celtics and Kyrie Irving, do you think the team went to his agent and has been talking to his agent and saying, here's what we would like?
Yeah, I'm sure they've approached him, but I'm sure Mookie Betts and his agent have said we want to wait until we reach free agency. We want to see what's out there.
Now, there's a reason why.
Well, he wants to get the most money possible. I think it's apparent. That's his goal.
But see, this is where I think that. So that tells me then there's probably not a good chance that he comes back to the Red Sox, because if the Red Sox were smart and they were going to give him the most money, they would have gave him an extension, very similar to what we saw Mike Trout get, right? Why not go to him and say, hey, listen, this is what we feel about you as a player.
Well, let's see what the market is. I mean, if Mookie Betts hits the free agent market today, I mean, he's hitting .260. So
doesn't
he's not going to get what he was going to get last year.
He's still going to get a ton of.
Trout got $450 million or whatever it was.
He's going to get, when you look at the Trout deal was what, $365? Don't count the extension,
right,
the money on
sure.
it. So you're looking at Mookie Betts getting somewhere between 10 years, $325 to $350 million.
Yeah, but I mean, he would have gotten more if you offered him a deal in spring training versus he plays out this year. And as we mentioned, he's having a relatively down season so far. But I mean, but you're right, Wiggy, because I say right now the Red Sox need another reliever or two, but we've been saying that For months at this point, if not, certainly to be generous, weeks. And here they are, 44-40, just four games above .500. It is laughable that you enter a season with this kind of payroll, this kind of talent, and this is the bullpen that you're trotting out there. I mean, I think if you're a Red Sox fan, you are enraged at the possibility that this team could sell.
Why are they trotting out that bullpen? Are they not too concerned with winning this year?
Yeah.
Are they kind of, hey, we won the World Series last year. We'll try to figure it out. We'll patch it together. If we don't make it, so that's why I'm saying.
I think that's what happened. You're right. I think that was their attitude, and it was an arrogant attitude.
Well, then that means that tells me then, if that's your attitude, that attitude should be like, all right, we know we're not going to win it. It's time to sell and sell off big. You talk about another guy, J.D. Martinez, right? Doesn't he have a player option at the end of the season?
He does, yes. He can opt out.
Right, and so he's probably going to opt out to try to maybe get more money on the free agent market. So why not trade him? Why not trade the guys that you could trade to get you something back? So now,
you don't think this team, though, that if you add two more good, just competent relievers can make a run?
I think this team has the talent.
Yeah.
But the way that they've played, it showed me that.
Yeah, but why have they played the way they've played? Because of the bullpen, largely.
Well, I think
there have been other issues, sure, but the bullpen's been cheap. It's been the biggest reason why they're 44-40.
I think that's a big part of it. But their starting pitchers struggled early in the year, which had nothing to do with their bullpen. And so they've kind of turned it around a little bit. But when you're looking at big picture, that's a big picture thing where you're looking at with this Red Sox team. It's about either you're going to be big buyers, meaning you're going to make moves and say, all right, we're going to go out and we're going to try to get somebody to fill into this bullpen and say, okay, we can make a last-ditch effort at making the postseason and trying to repeat.
I just think you have to do it from the standpoint that you have a $240 million payroll. You mentioned J.D. Martinez is going to likely opt out at the end of the year. Mookie Betts is up in 2021. So this is it. I mean, we talk about the window closing. This is the last chance of this window for this Red Sox team. And they entered the year with this kind of bullpen. And this team,
question right there, because I want you to, when you just said this point, this is their window. This is it, right?
Right, with this nucleus, yeah.
With this nucleus to win another World Series, correct?
Yes.
So the likelihood on them winning this year, where would you put that?
Right now, 0%. With this bullpen, zero. They can't hold any lead. Nothing. I mean, no lead.
Let's say they add a player or two. What would you give them percentage-wise in the bullpen?
Two more competent arms? Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, just give me a percentage.
I don't know. 20%, 30%.
Right,
I don't know.
So why would you want to buy when you have a 20, 30% chance of winning a World Series?
Because what do you have to lose? Well, I mean, at this point, you've already gone so far in this direction.
Because you're going to lose these guys for nothing.
But you've traded away but a World Series championship would make it worth it, correct? Another one, two in a row?
You'd have to, but that means if that means in your world, another World Series championship would make it worth it. That would mean that if you bought, your percentage couldn't just be 20, 30%. You'd have to be up somewhere around 70, 80%.
Well, we'll see how they all play once we get to July, August, September. I don't know. I'm just saying that with this team, it's just you've already traded away everyone in your farm system. You've invested so heavily, again, $240 million payroll, highest in franchise history, highest in the league. You owe it to try to make a legitimate run here with this core that won last year. And you failed to do it. Again, Colton Brewer is the only guy you added to this bullpen this offseason. You lose Kimbrel, you lose Joe Kelly. You don't replace him. And then again, you have Marcus Walden, 30-year-old rookie, expecting him to go in there and get these big outs in the seventh inning in a tight game like that against the Yankees. No way in hell that's happening.
But
no way in hell.
You could do
so. It's just embarrassing.
See, and I think if they sell, they could probably still end up doing a little bit of both, right? If they sell and they go out and they get guys and they trade Betts and they trade Martinez and they're able to now get some pitchers back. Maybe they get some bullpen help back.
You're not trading Mookie Betts for bullpen help.
Well, but you're going to
trade him for prospects.
Prospects, right? You don't think you could maybe get a bullpen help guy in there?
No, I mean, why would you do that? If you're trading Mookie Betts and JD Martinez, your two best players, why would you?
Right?
Yeah, but why would you trade them for guys who can help you in the bullpen? You trade them for prospects who can help you down the line to replenish this farm system.
But wouldn't you be able to trade them because they're so valuable? Wouldn't you be able to get more than just prospects?
Prospects are the most valuable thing to get for guys like that. Teams that are selling off want prospects.
Well,
you know, Wiggy, they're young, they're cost controlled.
Yes.
You can have them for years on end.
I think if you're the Boston Red Sox, then the case, what you have to do, it's about selling off. That's what you got to do. You're not winning a World Series this year, and you're probably going to lose J.D. Martinez at the end of this year.
But you're only saying that because of how many leads they've blown. I mean, again, they've blown eight games in which they've been leading after seven.
Right?
If they won all those games, they would have 50. Right, but they are where they are because they can't hold any leads.
But it's
this team is good enough otherwise to win.
You're chasing You're chasing the second wild card spot, right?
Yeah, you're chasing a wild card.
You're saying if they would have did this, if they would have had a bullpen out, If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle, right?
Well, she can in these days. You never know.
Well, but I'm saying where they are, games out, and they don't look like they're getting any better. They look like when you look at this, so why not just say, you know what? Hey, let's get something for the guys that we know are not going to be around here.
But that's where I guess we differ. I don't know that J.D. Martinez is not going to be around here. If he opts out of his contract, it doesn't mean that he's not going to be around with the Red Sox. CeCe Sabathia opted out of his deal with the Yankees years ago. They brought him back. A-Rod years ago opted out of his deal.
The highest,
they brought him back.
Highest bidder for him?
Why wouldn't they be?
Why wouldn't they? I'm asking you. Think they could? You don't think there'd be other teams that would maybe
of
offer
of course
more?
There'd be other teams.
Or do you think the Sox, knowing that he's had some, back issues or something like that?
He has had some back issues this year.
So they might say, you know what, we want to pay him a little bit less?
Yeah, his offensive production has not waned this year, though. He had another home run today. I mean, Martinez has not been an issue with this team. And I understand Mookie Betts has had a down year, and I know that's the Jerry Callahan thing. Once he goes to free agency, he's gone, but I don't buy that. The Red Sox have more money than, again, pretty much anybody in baseball. They can keep who they want to keep.
So why wouldn't they wrap him up? If you have all the money, right, when you allow a guy to get to free agency, or if a guy wants to go to free agency, there's a reasoning for that. The reason why he wants to go to free agency, I don't think it's about the money. I think it's about him wanting to play somewhere else, because I think that the Reds, I think that Mookie Betts is his agent, and I think the Red Sox are smart enough to be talking now during the season and saying, hey, listen, we want to give Mookie a 10-year deal.
But we want to
make him the highest paid player in the league, or the second highest paid player in the league. Can we get this thing done? And once the agent goes, let's wait till free agency.
The Red Sox probably say, sure, we'll wait till free agency, because why would you sign a guy 2 years before you have to if you're not going to get him at some sort of discount? Well, you know what I'm saying? Why do teams sign players to long-term deals before free agency?
Didn't the Angels just do that with Mike Trout? Didn't they just sign him to a long-term extension when he had, 2 years before he was a free agent?
Yeah, they certainly did.
Okay,
yeah.
So the teams usually do it because they want to make sure once that guy hits free agency, the likelihood of him coming back is very difficult. So teams, what they try to do, hey, let's get our guy, let's take him off the market before anybody else.
But I would say the thing with Mike Trout is, Mike Trout is Mickey Mantle reincarnated. I mean, he has an MVP caliber season every year. With Mookie Betts, though, that hasn't necessarily been
Mookie
the case.
Betts,
he was number two in MVP in 2016.
Right.
Had a bit of a down year in 2017, OPS in the mid-800s.
Right, he was the MVP before
right,
that.
But the Mookie Betts track record is not analogous to the Mike Trout track record, which is why if you're the Red Sox, I'm not sure why they would have signed Mookie to a long-term 8, 9, 10-year deal if they weren't going to get some sort of discount. And if it becomes apparent that Mookie Betts is not going to give you any sort of discount, why not wait until free agency
to
see what the actual market is and go from there?
You know what the market is. I don't think you do. Yeah, for a player like that, for a guy that has proven that he's an MVP caliber player, he's won an MVP before, he's won a World Series, a guy that you know what he can do, right? We know what Mookie Betts' ceiling is. We know what he can do when he's on.
Right, but we don't know if that's him on a year-to-year basis.
But we've seen him, we've seen him play pretty well. So
yeah, sure.
In baseball, pretty well sets the market very high. So when you look at what Mookie Betts is, there's no doubt in my mind that this guy, he might not get the Mike Trout money, but he's only going to be a little bit behind him. And so that's why if you're the Red Sox, why wouldn't you offer this guy a deal now and say, hey, listen, we'll give you an extension and we'll give you that 10 years, $330 million that you want, which will make you the second
highest. But maybe he wants $430 million.
And that's the point. If he gets the free agency, he's going to get the reason why he wants to get to free agency is not necessarily for top dollar, but because he knows he wants to get that top dollar and he wants to get it elsewhere. Because
why does he want to get it elsewhere? If the Red Sox give him more money than anybody, why wouldn't he stay here?
They would have already given him that.
Why? What if they said, no, we want to reach free agency and see what the market is?
You would never do that with your star player, because now once you say, no, we'll wait till free agency, now you open the door for other teams to potentially come in.
Of course
in.
You do.
Right. So,
but if Mookie Betts is not going to talk to you, and if you're the Red Sox, but I don't think that means that he's not going to re-sign here in 2021. He may just want to reach the open market for the first time in his career and see what his actual earning potential is. See what is out there.
But he knows.
Play the field for a little bit.
But see, he knows he's going to get big money out there. I don't think that's it. When you say, I want to wait till free agency, it's not because you want to see what the market's going to be. No, it's because you want to play for another team. That's it. Because if you're playing for a team like the Red Sox and they're offering you market value, which I'm willing to bet you they offered him that type of money, and he says, no, I'm going to wait till free agency, that tells me he'd rather play for another team.
It's just disgraceful that we're at this point where we can seriously talk about it.
Would you agree with that, though?
Agree with what?
Well, that when guys say they want to get to free agency, when they know that they have a deal for their team that they're currently playing with, would you agree that the reason why they want to go to free agency is because they want to play somewhere else?
Or they want the most money possible.
But if they know they're going to get that, like Tom Brady, right? If he knows he's going to be a free agent in another year or two, but he ends up doing an extension, he knows that he still can get his money on the open market, but he would rather play here and get the money.
Yeah, but getting the most money is not important to Tom Brady. He's only been the highest paid guy at his position once.
But you don't think Mookie Betts is still going to be somewhere, like I said, in the along the lines of 320 to 300?
Yeah, right. But we don't know what the Red Sox. We don't know if the Red Sox have formally offered him a deal in the $300 million range. We just don't.
I bet you they have.
I don't know for Wiggy. I don't project to just go by the reports.
Yeah, well, I bet you as a guy who's dealt with an agent before. And who's been in that world, your agent is constantly...
You and Mookie Betts had very similar careers.
No, but your agent is constantly calling. See, that's the thing. When you had an agent before, he's constantly like, hey, what are we doing here? My client's going to be a free agent. What's going on? You want to give him an extension, blah, blah, blah. Hey, yeah, we love him. This is what we want. And then that's what goes on behind closed doors. Maybe numbers don't get out, but you know that there's conversations. Not like, hey, let's just throw our hands in. We'll wait till he's a free agent. Don't work that way.
Yeah, no, you're right. But, I mean, we can have a serious conversation with the Red Sox and Mookie Betts because, I mean, I know Dale won't let you talk about trading Patrice Bergeron. I'll let you talk about trading Mookie Betts because here you are. I mean, the Red Sox this year against the top seven teams in the American League, 16-23. They've been outscored 200-171 against those clubs, 1-6 against the Yankees, Wiggy. And again, I think, you know, today, the loss is due to the bullpen. The loss is due to Dave Dombrowski not improving this team during the offseason, not replacing Kelly, not replacing Kimbrel. Well, yesterday is just, Rick Porcello being mediocre as hell, and then the bullpen not keeping it close. I mean, Porcello gave up 6 runs in the first, and what'd you give up in total? 17?
Right.
So he gave up, 11 more runs for the last 8 innings. So that was a combination of Rick Porcello and then nobody being able to put out the fire in the bullpen. And as I mentioned, you've had 4 blown games in which you've led after 8 innings. It's just unbelievable that we're at this point with this Red Sox team, 1 year removed from a World Series title, returning basically the same club, minus Kimbrel and Kelly, and you're talking about seriously trading Mookie Betts, seriously trading J.D. Martinez, seriously trading Jackie Bradley, and the whole host of these guys.
Yeah, I said, I don't think this team is good enough. And when I say good enough, they have the talent, but it's just like with the Celtics, right? When you look at the Celtics and you got to a point, you go, okay, they have the talent, but they're not good enough to win a championship, right? For whatever reason that may be, they're just not good enough to do it. When you look at this Red Sox team, they have the talent, but the way that they've been playing doesn't show me that they're good enough to win the World Series.
So, not this way, certainly.
Why not do what I can do to maybe potentially, because like you said, the window is closing, right? So the window's now down to what, a year and a half?
I mean, at most. I mean, this year, going to lose guys. Yeah.
Right. So, and
you're going to lose Porcello at the least, which might not make it worse.
So, the window's it's close. So now what can I do to say, all right, let me see if I can open that window up a little bit higher the next 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And how will I do that? The only way I could potentially do that is if I sell off some pieces to get some prospects back that could potentially help to keeping that window open for a little bit.
Well, you would take a massive step back and totally get yourself out of playoff contention if you were to sell at the deadline this year, which would be pretty sad given the expectations coming in and given how good this team is on paper outside of the end of the games. And anyone could have seen this.
Like you said, you'd be losing guys that have been productive. But Mookie's not having a great. Who's to say that? You know what? It comes down to your pitching. Maybe some other guys hit for you when you lose Mookie if you trade Mookie off.
So what do you think, Red Sox fans? 617-779-7937. Your Boston Red Sox now on a 3-game losing skid, flying home from London for a 3-game set this week against the Blue Jays. Begins Tuesday. Then the Tigers come to Fenway Park before the All-Star break. You're at 44-40. You are 11 games back at the division. 2.5 games out of a playoff spot in total. So do you sell? Do you do what I do? And Dombrowski needs some relievers today, tomorrow, get 2 more guys in here. But, that should have happened weeks ago.
Chase that second wild card.
It's hot, Wiggy. It's hot. It's getting the people going this summer. If you were a London native and you saw the two ball games this weekend, 4 hours, 42 minutes, game one. Today was a tidy, let's see how long it took today, a tidy 4 hours, 24 minutes. Would you be hooked on the product or...
Baseball shocks. I mean, I don't know what you're doing here. Where's our baseball guy, Bradford? He's supposed to be as lazy as usual.
I know.
But 4 hours? Jesus, come on.
That's kind. Yeah. That'd be short.
Come on.
4:42 yesterday, 4:24 today.
Well, I think I was listening to the radio a little bit driving, and the first inning was like, what did they say, like an hour or
long,
something like
yeah.
that?
More, yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
four runs today for the Sox.
It's what a joke baseball is. I don't know how anybody watches it. I really don't. If you're under the age of 70, I do not know how you watch it.
Oh, sorry. We have a Woj tweet to get to. We'll get to. Yeah, I mean it's and that's.
I just don't get it.
And that's a great thing. So we're talking Red Sox Yankees, and John Anderson, our producer's in my ear, saying we have a Woj tweet here. I mean, that's where we are. That Red Sox Yankees overshadowed
pretty important Woj
by
tweet.
NBA free agency.
Oh,
all right,
we got a
John,
Woj
we'll
bomb.
Get to it. Can we have breaking news here, please? Do we have a breaking news sounder? I'm not
Woj
reading
bomb.
It till we get the breaking
news.
Yeah,
I mean,
news.
We do.
It's not a Woj
we,
tweet.
Theoretically, there is a breaking
aren't they
news
called
sounder.
Woj bombs?
Okay, Woj bomb. Are you ready here, Wiggy?
Can we
sources.
Say that?
Breaking news. Hey. This is breaking news on Sports Radio WEEI.
I bet I know what it is.
You want to take a guess or want me to read it?
Listen.
Yes?
I'm going to take a guess. Something about Kemba Walker and him signing with the Celtics.
You are correct,
oh,
but it's a little more complicated than that. Sources. Boston showing interest in a three-team sign and trade with Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, and Terry Rozier. Irving would go to the Nets, Walker mm-hmm. would come here, Rozier would go to the Hornets. Boston wants to create a full mid-level exception and would likely need to surrender at least a first-round pick to the Nets. So far, talks are exploratory. That's a Woj bomb just a few minutes ago.
What's
wow.
the purpose of the sign and trade? Is that so Kemba and Kyrie can get the most money possible?
Yes, and then what would also happen, I believe, is you would be able, under that scenario, to sign Horford. No, Horford wouldn't be part of this. Yeah, Boston wants the full mid-level, I guess, because they could sign guys who would command more money on the free agent market,
I think
right?
We need Ordway for that.
We need Ordway for that one, because
to
right
us
now...
the mid-level exemption and bird rights.
Because well, the bird rights is you can re-sign your own guy for more money, and you
know.
Can be over the cap.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
With the Jordan rights?
Yes. The Celtics right now, without the full mid-level, have veteran minimums contracts they can offer and a $4.8 million mid-level exception.
Okay.
That's not the full mid-level, Wiggy.
Okay, so
yes.
The full mid-level maybe takes it up to 10 million?
Maybe. We'll have to look. Because you look at names, right? Like Ines Kanter to fill out this front court, Robin Lopez, these guys, are they going to settle for just the 4.8 million, you know, or the full mid level? That's a question worth asking. So, certainly lots of NBA free agency, too, we'll dig into throughout the hour as well here till 4. Then, if you missed any of this Red Sox greatness in London against the Yankees, mm-hmm. you can dive back into it. We're playing some best of, some highlights
of the Red Sox.
Yes, and then Patrick Gilroy cleans
you
up
highlights.
At 7.
I like highlights rather than
highlights.
Watching the game.
Yeah, just real quick, we'll get to the NBA stuff in a moment here. I see your Red Sox calls there, but I mean, the length of these games was a joke. I mean, two games,
pathetic.
Well north of 4 hours, and you hear Rob Manfred in the ESPN booth today talking about how baseball is going to expand its reach past the United States and Canada. It's like, okay, can we maybe focus on keeping people here under the age of 70, as you mentioned? Can
right.
we maybe focus on that first?
I don't get it. I mean, I have it on every now and then in the background, but to sit there and really think that I'm going to sit through 4 hours of every inning of baseball, there's no, you have to, like I said, you have to be 80 years old and you can't get off the couch.
But the people in England, as they said many times, they love the catching foul balls. They love the idea that you can catch foul balls.
Well, for them, they're used to watching soccer, and soccer's probably just as boring
but
as baseball.
But timed, quick. Soccer's over 2 hours.
It is quicker, but it is boring.
So learned to watch, yes.
Maybe they're looking at it like that.
As
they
I've
like
learned,
the boring games.
I've learned watching my beloved United States women's team throughout this World Cup run.
That's
Megan
right.
Rapinoe. I've
dominated.
I'm on
right?
board. All right, Peter in Watertown's been holding. What's up, Peter?
Were the baseballs shipped to London via air freight? And if so, would the high altitude of air freight make them fly the way baseballs used to fly out of Coors Field?
Ooh, what do you think, Wiggy? Any
so.
Thoughts
the,
here?
The higher you go up, the thinner the air, so the
That's
further
true.
The ball travels.
Yes, we had some issues with the baseballs that Rob Bradford was all over. Theories that the breaking balls were ineffective because it was an open-air stadium. I don't even know. I mean, whatever. This Red Sox bullpen sucks whether you play
level,
the game.
How many feet are they above sea level? That's big.
Whether you play the games in London, Boston, Toronto, Timbuktu, does not matter. This Red Sox bullpen cannot hold any lead, so I don't put a lot of stock into that. 617-779-7937. So if you are an aggrieved Red Sox fan, we are your home.
Yes.
Again, 617-779-7937. But coming up next week, do want to pick up that big Woj bomb.
Woj
again,
bomb.
Boston showing interest in a three-team sign and trade. Mm-hmm. Nets, Celtics, and Hornets, of course. Irving would go to Brooklyn. Kemba Walker would come here. Terry Rozier would go to Charlotte. And that would create the full mid-level exception. We're going to call the Big O during the break. Find out what that means, significance of that. But pieces are moving with NBA free agency due to begin at 6 o'clock. So we're doing all that. But first, let's grab a trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now more of Weimer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Kemba Walker is on his way to the Boston Celtics. He plans to commit to a four-year, $141 million maximum contract with the Celtics when free agency opens on Sunday, league sources told me. For Walker, his heart was always in Charlotte with the Hornets. He wanted to stay with Michael Jordan's team. But the fact was, is Charlotte, their offer was significantly lower than even the normal maximum contract, which was 5 years and $190 million. So forget the fact that he was eligible for the five-year, $221 million Supermax contract. The Hornets' offer, I'm told, wasn't even really close to the max contract of $190 million.
So Shams Charania from The Athletic a couple of days ago. Yes, apparently the Hornets only offered Kemba Walker around $160 million, which is far shy from what they could have offered him. Walker's been linked to the Celtics for a couple days, but a new twist moments ago from Adrian Wojnarowski, a Woj bomb. Sources: Boston showing interest in a three-team side and trade that would send Kyrie Irving to the Nets, Kemba Walker to the Celtics, and Terry Rozier to the Hornets. Woj writes, Boston wants to create a full mid-level exception and would likely need to surrender at least a first-round pick to the Nets. So far, talks are exploratory. So we were asking the question, Wiggy, full mid-level exception. What does that mean? What is the advantage doing this deal? The Big O chiming in on my text line.
Our basketball insider,
the Big O, quote, I believe a full mid-level exception is just under $9.3 million, even broke it down.
Oh, okay.
$9.246 million, to be exact, Wiggy.
So then that means you'd have an extra almost, you know, $5 million sign a, you know, whoever the Scribini.
The Big O says it would allow you to get a big who's above that group of stiffs. In other words, a decent big.
So it's a decent Scribini. So you can get a decent Scribini at $9 million and some change. But would that also mean that the sign and trade would mean that now Kyrie and both Kemba Walker would get 5 years, $191 million?
Right. And this is from Nick Fryer, who covers the Celtics for us at WEEI.com. Mm-hmm. This trade would allow the Celtics to keep their bird rights on all their free agents, including Al Horford.
Okay.
Which means under this scenario, with the bird rights, you can re-sign a player, your own player, and you can re-sign him to a deal that would take you above the salary cap, and you can do that without penalty.
Okay.
In the NBA, that's why the Warriors, for example, this year had like a payroll bordering $300 million, right? Because they re-signed all their own guys, etc. So this three-team trade, if it came to fruition, would also allow the Celtics to keep bird rights on their free agents.
Right.
So including Horford.
So what that means is then you'd have to pay 4 years, $100 million for Al Horford.
Right. You could have a way to keep Horford in Boston with Kemba Walker. Now, you would be the one. So that's how it works, right? So you would technically be the one signing Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
And the Charlotte would technically be the team signing Walker to the deal. And then they would get traded elsewhere. That's a sign and trade. It would put Terry Rozier in Charlotte as well. Even though the Hornets would not be able to afford Rozier if he hit the free agent market as an unrestricted free agent. So very interesting, this three-team side sign and trade, rather.
I like it, but
I love it.
I don't want to sign Horford for 4 years, $100 million. You want to sign him at $25 million?
I do. Yes.
You really do?
Yes.
Not me. I feel like save that money and try to find somebody else. I mean, we all sat here and complained, how did we give this guy $30 million, right? And I understand that that's the market, and I understand that's the market for Al Horford. And I like Al Horford. I think he's a good player. But I don't think tying up another 4 years at $25 million per year for Al Horford is a smart move.
Don't you think, though, Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, Hayward, Horford, that starting five? That's a championship contender in the Eastern Conference.
I'd say that's a good starting five. I said that. I think that starting five can get you to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know if you're going to beat Milwaukee with that starting
really?
Five. Yeah, I don't think so.
I think you could.
Well, how do I know how Tatum's playing? I don't know how Tatum and Brown are playing. If they're averaging 13 points a game.
Well, yeah. But if you believe that Kyrie was the mercurial, is that word, the mercurial force this year that brought everybody around him down, you get rid of Kyrie, mm-hmm. you get a much better locker room guy in Kemba Walker, Tatum and Brown continue to develop, Hayward is better than he was last year, another year removed from that injury, Horford is back,
yeah,
you still
have
Marcus
Smart
off the bench.
Out,
that's
see,
a damn good team.
See, the problem that I have is I still don't know. See, I don't know your thought process, but there are a lot of people
pretty
that...
pretty effed up. You don't want to know my thought
process. There are a
process.
Lot of people that think Kyrie... was the problem in the locker room.
A lot of people do.
I don't believe that he was the main problem in that locker room. So I still feel like you're going to have issues.
So you agree with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, who wrote that this morning, that Kyrie Irving was not the main issue with the Celtics.
Yeah, I don't think he was the main issue of... Because when you start to hear some of the things that come out, we've heard the Jackie McMullen article that she had. We heard Terry Rozier even say it himself, where guys... on this team had to sacrifice their roles, and they weren't necessarily happy about doing that. And so if you move Kyrie out of the picture and you bring in Kemba, guys are still going to have to sacrifice their roles.
But isn't it also about the attitude? I mean, you've played with tons of guys. I mean, you know, Kyrie Irving just came across like such an arrogant, unlikable dude. He really did. So why would you want to sacrifice your role to placate that guy who's just a jerk to you?
Well, but I don't know how he initially started out with these guys. I think it comes down to more about Brad Stevens managing these guys and managing them in a way that they know exactly what their roles are. And
well, the communication was certainly an issue on this team. McMullen's reported that as well.
If he comes in and goes, okay, here's the role. Kemba Walker, you're our alpha dog. We expect you, and we're going to put a lot of what we do on your shoulders, right? We want you to score points. Jason Tatum, we want you to take that next step and get to becoming that top 10 player that we think you are in the league, right? And then Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, whatever it is, are those guys now going to buy into that? That's the question that... I'm asking, and I don't necessarily think it was about Kyrie. I think it's about these young guys. Are they going to feel like we now have to take a backseat?
Well, but it's
Kemba
a big
Walker?
Factor too. I mean, Kyrie Irving was continually throwing these younger guys under the bus. I called LeBron to apologize about how I was when I was younger, talking about we're not ready to mm-hmm. lead, we're not ready to win. You know, I mean, he was sniping at these guys all season long. Kyrie Irving was.
Yes, Kemba Walker is what you're able to get me. Was it the first choice that I wanted the Celtics? What I wanted from the Celtics?
It's a plan B, for sure.
I'd say it's probably like plan C.
A guy averaging only 26 points per game, that's not a bad plan C.
Well, no, I'm not saying, but you know, to average 25 points in the NBA, if you're a good player and you play on a lousy team, it's not very difficult. You know what I mean? You take a lot of shots, you're going to score a lot of points.
He was an all-NBA guy this year. That's why he was eligible for the Supermax
right.
deal. I mean,
well,
he had
I'm
a
not,
damn
I'm
good
not,
year,
I'm
Kemba
not
Walker.
Saying he's not a good player.
He lit up the Celtics last year in the two games they played against him. 70-some-odd points.
I'm not saying he's not a good player. But at the end of the day, what did we talk about? Even with Kyrie Irving, we always said that a guy like Kyrie Irving, you could not win a championship with him as your Batman, right?
Sure.
Can you win a championship with Kemba Walker as your Batman?
No, I don't think you can.
Right,
but
so
what if Tatum develops into what he was, you know, continues on that development from what we saw his rookie season? Hayward starts to resemble the max guy who you signed a couple years ago prior to the injury.
Those are the things that we pray for those things to happen. We don't know. We don't know if those things are necessarily going to happen, right? So, I mean, those are things that they're a roll of the dice. And so when you're talking about a team that's a roll of the dice, it could go in two different directions. It could be that team that's able to find out who they are and play and get to the Eastern Conference, or it could go the other way and Tatum doesn't take that step forward and now you're a sixth seed and you get bounced in the first round.
On Hayward, by the way, according to those around the Celtics are cautiously giddy about Gordon Hayward next season. That's a report on NBC Sports Boston.
Well, I think he's
going
to be better.
So
I would
cautiously giddy, Wiggy. There you go.
I don't like the cautiously.
Cautiously giddy. It's kind of a strange phrase.
Yeah, cautiously means like, well, he still hasn't got, you know, he's still
They're hoping.
Yeah, but I would think that this is the year for Gordon Hayward. You're going to find out if he's able to make that leap mentally and maybe get back to the player that we saw in the past.
Yeah, Steve Volpett, there's a very good returning core in Tatum, Marcus Smart, and Jaylen Brown, and people around the team are cautiously giddy of what Gordon Hayward could be as he gets further away from his horrible injury and plays a crew that hopefully is interested in sharing the ball more, but that still leaves a major need for an experienced big person. But with the sign and trade that would allow you to keep the bird rights to all your guys, including Al Horford, there's your experience quality big man, Al Horford.
Well, you're going to want to pay Horford 4 years.
Yeah, I would, because it's good. It's a couple years before you need to pay Tatum. He's not up, I believe, until after 2021. Brown is up in a couple years, too. So it's a couple years before you have to pay those guys. And in the meantime, a team with Walker and Horford anchoring with those young guys and Hayward again, that is a good team.
But what if you had those teams, right? What if you had those guys, right? And you weren't, and you didn't spend that Horford money. So let's say, could you save that money? And let's say you save that money till next offseason, for example, and say, hey, we're going to take our shot. We'll get one of those mid-level Scribini exemptions.
A full mid-level guy,
whoever that might be. We'll get one of him. You know, we'll go in with a solid team. Hopefully Tatum and Brown could take, like you said, that next step. Hayward's back, and then the mid-level Scribini helps out. Now, maybe we don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but we show, hey, we're a pretty decent team here. Now you're going to next offseason. You got that money that you didn't sign on Al Horford. Now maybe you are able to go out, potentially get a free agent that might be a little bit better than Al Horford. Or who knows, maybe you're able to trade Jaylen Brown for some disgruntled guy that's somewhere else that you could use that money on.
Lots of ways you can go, but I think it's worth saying Danny Ainge, you know, Chris Curtis's of the world, all these people wanted to bury Danny Ainge a couple weeks ago. And showing once again why he's one of the best of the business. I mean, this was lousy.
He's not out of the woods yet.
The possibilities are endless, Wiggy. Sign and trade rumor.
No possibilities are endless. You know what the possibilities are. You trade, you sign and trade, you're getting Kemba Walker. Okay, all right. So Kemba Walker, everybody agrees, wasn't probably Danny's first choice. And, you know, he's option C. So, hey, we'll take it. You know what I mean? He's not the 10 at the party. He's not the 9 at the party. He might be like that 7.
Nothing. A few drinks. That 7 looks like an 8 or a 9, Wiggy.
Yeah. Well,
it's not bad.
You're sooner or later going to sober up.
And then you turn on the lights.
Right. So, and he said, all right, this is a good option for us. I don't think the now putting $100 million into Al Horford for the next 4 years would be a good option by Danny. I think that you can maybe wait and use that money to go somewhere and maybe get a better player.
What say you, Kevin, in Edgartown, the Vineyard? Some thoughts on this. What's up, Kevin?
Hi, guys. So this is Danny Ainge's plan B. We keep saying, oh, he missed plan A, plan B, plan C. He had this figured out from the very beginning. They knew they were going to lose Kyrie, so that was plan A gone, not re-signing Kyrie. If they didn't sign, if they didn't release Horford, they would not have been able to get Walker. If they had signed Horford, there wouldn't be money available for Walker. This was his plan all along. Play it this way so that you can get this rotation of players. Get Horford back in the mix. Wiggy, you keep saying that you don't want to sign Horford for 4 years because you think in a couple years, you can take that money and you can sign another free agent.
Yep.
That money isn't available. That's not how it works. That it's just like when we lost two free agents last time. We lost Kyrie Irving and Horford, right? They were released. That only allowed us one spot to sign Walker. See, so now if you don't sign Horford now with this bird rights, mm-hmm. it doesn't open up any more salary cap space for you. There's no more salary cap space there. By doing this, it essentially increases the salary cap of the team to sign only Horford and, by the way, Morris. They can sign both of those guys. And I think that's what's going to happen. So I think this has been Danny Ainge's plan B from the moment they knew they weren't going to get Kyrie Irving.
It's apparent that Danny Ainge didn't just sit there and go, oh my God, Kyrie's not going to resign with us. Oh, we're stuck. We're screwed. No, he's been working on this for a while. As Kevin mentioned, the Big O's chimed in again, Wiggy, if you want to hear the Big O's thoughts.
Big O's has, he's the basketball, when it comes to all that money stuff, he's the guy.
Big O is telling us that Irving and Walker on a signing trade can still only get 4 years, $141 million.
Okay.
So they couldn't get the Supermax from their teams, no fifth year. But Glenn says Irving would have to agree to do this, and he doesn't have to unless he wants Boston fans to like him again. What other reason would he have? So Glenn Ordway is saying, which is an interesting mix, Who's to say Kyrie Irving agrees to be part of this?
Yeah, why would I do a sign and trade if I'm still getting the same amount of money regardless?
Yes.
See, I thought the sign and trade meant you got more money, but now from what we're learning from the Big O, the basketball guy, about the ball movement and about the mid-level rights and the Bird rights and the Jordan rights.
Full mid-level.
Yeah, full metal, that he's still going to get 4 years, $141 million. So why would, if you're Kyrie, why am I doing this?
But you could also counter and say, why wouldn't you do it if you're getting the same money at the end of the day and you're playing in Brooklyn? Like, who cares, you know, who signs you to the original paperwork if you're getting the same money and you're still playing where you want to play?
Maybe, you know, maybe that's your, like, you know, if they smeared you on the way out, maybe that's your last ditch. Like, you know what? I'm throwing the middle finger up. If I was Kyrie Irving, I wouldn't sign it.
I probably wouldn't either. I would have maybe, but then it'd be like, oh, that Jackie Mack report about me not signing the charity basketballs. No, thank you. So Kyrie Irving could be the turd in the punch bowl one more time on his way out. I will continue to sift through this with your calls at 617-779-7937. Reamer and Wiggy, Sports Radio WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Right back to Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Do you buy the fact that Horford could indeed return to the Celtics?
I think it's very possible, and it becomes a very complicated and intricate, you know, juggling act as far as multiple sign and trades that they would have to engineer with the Charlotte Hornets, sending Terry Rozier there, and obviously Kyrie Irving going to the Brooklyn Nets. They would try to do a sign and trade there to find a way to get both Kemba and Al Horford on the roster heading into next season. I think right now it's something that the Celtics are exploring. They certainly want to have Al Horford back because, to me, getting him back would mean the difference between being a top two, top three team in the East going into the season versus being caught in that middle ground, 4-6, without him.
Says A. Sherrod Blakely, Celtics insider for NBC Sports Boston, saying what we were saying last segment, updating the people. We're always accurate, Wiggy. This rumored sign and trade would allow the Celtics to retain the Bird rights and all their free agents, which basically means they could sign both Kemba Walker and Al Horford.
Right, because they could go over the cap
to keep Horford, because you're bringing back your own guy.
And I had thought, you know, because the reports out there that there's 4 years, $100 million on the table for Horford, so in order to keep him, that's probably what, but you can't use that money elsewhere, from, I guess, is what I'm learning. Because
right.
I was like, do I really want to spend another 4 years and $100 million
on Al Horford? Right, either spend it on Al Horford or you can't spend it on anybody, basically.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Now, it gets you in cap trouble down the line.
Right.
But, you know, I'm looking at the way the money is dispersed. So Jason Tatum is a restricted free agent in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really not unrestricted till 2022. So that takes you to the end of these Horford and Kemba Walker deals. So before you really have to pay up big money to retain Jason Tatum, and, you know, Jaylen Brown's up a year before that, but you can compete, I think, for an NBA Finals berth in the interim with Kemba Walker and Al Horford with these guys. And that is a move that I would absolutely do if I'm Danny Ainge and the Celtics. That's the best case scenario out of, up to this point, what has been a lousy several months for this team.
I would say you wouldn't be able to compete for an NBA Finals. I would say that you would probably be competing to get you to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, but you could still beat the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks did not impress me against Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals. Giannis struggled down the stretch, struggled with his free throws, like a 70% guy from the line. The Bucks are, you know.
When you step back and you really look at it, right, take the off-the-court issues out of it, right? Step back and look at it. You're basically the same team that you were last year, except you're maybe a little bit worse because you don't have the closer in the sense of with Kyrie Irving, because Kemba's really not a closer, right? I've heard his numbers about, you know, his percentage in the last 2 minutes of games and whatnot, so he's not really looked at as being the closer. Like
he closed out against you, though, in that game last year in the fourth quarter, and he went off, and then Kyrie afterwards was criticizing Brad Stevens for not double-teaming him. So,
but I'm talking more along the lines when you think of Isaiah Thomas when he played here, there were a ton of numbers to show what he was like in the fourth quarter throughout that whole season. And I can't remember if it was Glenn or OMF that were talking about just Kemba Walker's, you know, fourth quarter numbers and what he was is like his 3-point percentage went way down.
I mean, Walker last year shot 35.6% from three, so he struggled from beyond the arc.
So regardless of the numbers, right, are you a better team, you know, when you think about the starting five, Hayward, Horford, Brown,
Tatum, Walker,
or Hayward, Horford, Brown, Tatum, Irving?
Just on paper, you're better with Irving, no doubt about it, because Kyrie's better than Walker. But there are tons of intangible factors with Kyrie Irving that we saw come to fruition this year. Kyrie Irving, I think, brought the team down.
Well,
he did.
That's what you would say. I wouldn't say that he was a big part of that, because when you looked at what he, you know, was on the court, and you looked at some of the things. I just think it was about the role that the young guys really didn't want to buy into. So we'll have to now see where we go next year.
And you also mentioned Isaiah Thomas, though. I mean, he flourished under Brad Stevens' system here. Rozier had an incredible postseason, which he won't stop reminding us about, under Brad Stevens last year. Kyrie, for all his faults, statistically this year had the best season of his career. So who's not to say that Kemba Walker comes here and becomes an even better player under Brad Stevens than he's been previously. Point guards have excelled here.
I don't doubt that one bit, but the thing that you've noticed, what point guards do in Brad Stevens' offense is they shoot a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They shoot a lot, and that takes away from the other players. When you look at the Isaiah Thomas, when he was here, he really didn't have that number two guy, right? So he could, you know, hawk up a ton of shots. Now, with the Celtics, what's their problem is they don't have a number two. Who's that number two guy?
Hayward maybe develops into that. Remember, the Celtics were cautiously giddy.
So we're cautiously giddy on Hayward. Tatum, what are we with him then? If we're cautiously giddy, what are we with Tatum?
Cautiously optimistic.
Well, yeah, cautiously optimistic.
I think being cautiously giddy is better than being cautiously optimistic, is it not? Wouldn't you rank being giddy? Like, if I told you, Wiggy, I am giddy about today's show, you'd say, all right, me too. If I go, oh, I'm optimistic, you go,
You're hoping.
You're hoping, yeah, right. Giddy, I'm pumped.
So, and then Jaylen Brown, he's cautiously...
We haven't heard anything about Jaylen.
But that's what your team is. And so I think you can compete in the Eastern Conference to get you to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think it would be very difficult for you to beat Milwaukee. You know, if they re-sign Middleton, and depending on what they do, be very difficult for you. And you don't know what's going to happen with Toronto. You don't know what's going to happen with the Sixers. So
it all happens tonight at 6. And Kevin Durant, by the way, will announce his free agent destination at 6 o'clock on his own company, on his own company streaming service. So that'll be exciting. The Warriors reportedly prepared to offer Durant the max deal as well at 6 o'clock. So lots of things falling into place.
And then, aren't there reports out that him and Kawhi are working on playing together? So, I mean, that shuffles
the whole deck.
Landscape of things, right?
Shuffles the whole landscape.
What if they end up in New York or they end up in Brooklyn? Is that a possibility now? If you're the Celtics, you even take another step back.
Well, that's a side story about just how sad it is for the Knicks. I mean, they entered this free agency period with dreams of landing both Irving and Durant, and now it looks like...
And the number one overall
pick. Right, and now they get nothing. I mean, they might not even get Terry Rozier if he goes to Charlotte as part of the sign and trade. John in the car has some thoughts on your Kemba Walker opinion, Wiggy. What's up, John?
Alex, I don't know how you're giddy today to be working with Wiggy.
I'm always Wiggy to be here, John. I am always giddy to be here. This is a dream job.
Giddy to be with Wiggy.
Yes.
I mean, Wiggy, in the past, like, 20 minutes, I think everybody pretty much has called you, like, incorrect. A caller, Glenn Ordway has texted in.
From the text line. Still texting in, by the way.
You know, these are just people who think they're smart. No,
he called in with the numbers.
Yes, Glenn Ordway gave us the numbers.
Your last straw is that Kyrie is the better closer. So, you know what? I was a big Kyrie fan when he was here, and I believed in that too. He's a closer. So, you know what I'm going to do? What games did he close when he was actually a Boston Celtics? I'll wait, because I saw them, and he didn't close many, especially down the stretch. With the
you didn't like him in the last four games against Milwaukee, John, the 25 of 85
right,
performance?
Yeah. How'd he do in the Pacers series? He played pretty good.
Okay, one series, game two.
Okay,
so
but
there's
he,
one. I seen him close
throughout the regular
if
season.
Such a great closer. Then what are the other games that he won?
Well, I seen him close in a lot of regular season games. I mean, how many Tommy Awards did he get? A ton of them.
I can't name them. I don't know when they are.
Well, you want me to go back and you want me to go through the whole season?
He's such a great closer, I want to know what game.
Okay. I think I remember seeing him close out against the Houston Rockets. I think that was I'm going to say maybe December 26th.
I remember that well.
Remember that game?
Yeah.
I think it was a Tuesday night.
But it does lead the point that I'm going to piggyback off John here, where if Kyrie Irving's going to leave, whether it's through sign and trade or whatever, it would be the most disappointing stint a superstar has had in Boston sports that I can remember. Because year one, he gets hurt in March. He's out for the entirety of that playoff run. And then last year, I think he was the number one reason, among many, sure, but the number one reason why they submarined this season, Kyrie Irving. And then he leaves like this. I mean, ugh, what an unimpressive, borderline detestable stint here.
Pablo Sandoval was pretty bad.
Pretty bad, but
Adrian Gonzalez was pretty bad. Kyle Crawford was more of the frustration. He played good until he got hurt, right? They were the number two seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And then last year, you know, it was an up and down. But, you know, after they swept the Indiana Pacers, you're like, all right.
Kyle Crawford is a good one. He did not get, because at least Kyrie statistically actually had the best year of his career this season.
So he had, Kyrie had a bad series against Milwaukee.
But also the attitude, though, right? Was like Kyle Crawford was not loathsome. He was struggling here.
But see, the attitude
I found Kyrie to be loathsome at times.
The attitude problem, it really is who you are on how you feel about him. To me, Kyrie's like Trump.
And that's all you need to see. That's why I found him to be loathsome.
If you don't like Trump, there's no way you're going to like Trump, no matter what. And I think it's with Kyrie. You either like Kyrie or you don't like Kyrie. See, I liked Kyrie.
So, Kyrie guy?
I was a Kyrie guy. I'm still a Kyrie guy. I think it was a bad move for the Celtics to not be able to get it done. And I think you're going to see that moving forward.
Wiggy's favorite columnist, Dan Shaughnessy, blasted Kyrie in the pages of the Boston Globe today. We'll get to that on the other side and also talk about, again, the potential fallout of this massive rumored three-way sign and trade from Adrian Wojnarowski, where Kyrie Irving would go to Brooklyn, Kemba Walker would come here from Charlotte, Terry Rozier would go back to Charlotte. We're sticking around until when, John? 4:30?
And we got Ordway's helping us out. Any issues that we might have as far as the NBA, what do we call it? The NBA
cap.
Insider cap numbers and all that good
our
stuff.
Our cap all just Glenn Ordway sent me another text message during that segment as well. So we'll have Glenn, the Big O's latest thoughts too on the other side. Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
All right, so here's the only problem I have with throwing that out there. So here's what you did. You basically traded Kyrie, Al Horford, Morris, Rozier, Do I throw Wanamaker in there and Jonathan Gibson Baines? Okay, throw them in there. All for Kemba Walker, and you're giving him the maximum contract money, and you got nothing left.
Unless you do the sign-and-trade, Big O, which is what Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting. Celtics discussing three-team sign-and-trade that would send Kyrie to Brooklyn, Kemba Walker would come here, and Terry Rozier would go to Charlotte. That would allow the Celtics to keep the bird rights on all their free agents, including Al Horford. So under that scenario, Horford and Kemba Walker could be in Boston next season. That's according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Mm-hmm. Now, the Big O, Wiggy, is also been chiming in on the text line. My cell phone is the text line. He, in this case, with another take about this potential sign and trade, as reported by Woj. Or, because Big O said earlier that why would Kyrie Irving do this? He has no incentive to cooperate with a sign and trade. He could just sign with the Nets outright. He's getting the same money, the same four-year, $141 million deal. Either way, Big O says, or devious Kyrie could force the Celtics to send Brooklyn a first-round pick to help him build his new Nets team. That's more like Kyrie. So it's a good point where Irving could say, hey, Celtics, you want to do the sign and trade? That's fine, but I'm only agreeing to do this if you then agree to send, let's say, that Memphis pick my way to Brooklyn. Right. That Memphis pick, which is protected next year but unprotected in 2021, by far I think the Celtics' most valuable asset in terms of draft capital remaining. So maybe that is the play that Kyrie makes. Like, okay, I will take part in the sign and trade, but you also have to send that Memphis pick over to Brooklyn as well. And then under that scenario, would Celtics fans be okay with that? Giving up really your last big piece of draft capital?
No, I don't think I don't think you want to give that piece up, because who knows?
You might have to, though, to make this happen.
No, because can't you still? So if this if you don't do the sign and trade, then you don't get Al Horford. That's
right. You could still sign Kemba Walker. Right, to that four-year, $141 million deal, but right, you would not be able to retain
Al
Horford.
But why couldn't you sign Al Horford? Couldn't you still, because he's one of your own players, couldn't you still go over the cap?
Because the Celtics, rather, would not have to renounce Horford under the scenario with the sign-and-trade, so if you don't have to renounce somebody, you still hold their rights. So the exact particulars, I'm not sure. I'm just reading. Brian Robb had that from Boston Sports Journal. They would not renounce Horford.
The reason why,
under
because if you're Kyrie Irving, I don't do anything that is going to help the Celtics out. That doesn't do me any benefit.
Especially if you're going to the East.
Right.
I mean, but then you could say, though, but that helps out the Nets, where if Irving goes to Brooklyn and then you get that Memphis pick, which again, you know, unprotected in 2021, that could be a top five pick, given how the Grizzlies seem to be going with this full rebuilding move, especially if they trade Mike Conley, which many expect them to do. So
imagine what that pick would mean to you.
Well, right. I mean, it'll be a lot to give up for the Celtics, but that might be what they have to do to get this done. And I would still do that, by the way.
And let's,
I would still
and
do let, that if
and let's
I
say
the
down the road, right? Let's just say, let's say down the road, we're talking about Brown and Tatum, and we got this Memphis pick. Let's say you want to unload one of them down the road to play. You know, you want to get that other guy to play alongside Kemba Walker, right? And maybe you know that, I can unload Tatum, or I can unload Brown and that Memphis pick to bring me back player X, which will make me really good, maybe not this season, but maybe next year. You know what I mean? So that's something, if you're the Celtics, that you still potentially could be looking at. Yeah,
yeah, right, absolutely. And basically what you're talking about is, so if you are to sign Kemba Walker and bring back Al Horford, you are handicapping yourself to that core of Walker, Horford, Brown, Tatum, Hayward, Smart, let's say, for the next 2-3 years, right? That is your team. Whereas if you sign Kemba Walker, which is going to happen regardless, we believe, you keep Brown and Tatum, you don't bring back Horford, you have a Robin Lopez type as your center, but you keep that Memphis pick, you are now still maintaining some sort of flexibility because you don't have that Al Horford four-year, $100 million contract hanging around your neck. So that's the question. And I would still go with the sign and trade, even if it did mean sending a first round pick and let's say that Memphis pick to Brooklyn, because I still believe in a wide open Eastern Conference, especially if Kawhi Leonard does leave Toronto to sign with the Clippers or elsewhere, or Jimmy Butler leaves the Sixers, which has been reported. I think you have a real good chance to oust Milwaukee and reach the NBA Finals with that group.
So
I really do.
You're saying Al Horford,
I'm all in
your opinion, is the piece.
He's the piece. He's the missing piece, provided Tatum and Brown and Hayward are better than they were last year, which, yeah, if. But that's what it is when you're in the Celtics position. That's what a plan B entails. It includes some ifs, and I would still do it if I were the Celtics. I still would feel cautiously optimistic, Wiggy, about their chances next year with that as the starting five. I really would.
I would agree with you that, yes, you're a better team with Al Horford than you are without him.
Yes.
So if, you know, but if it comes down to Kyrie Irving, who's making that decision for you, now you got to wonder how he feels about you.
Is this Rama in Gloucester has some thoughts here? What's going on?
Yes, I do. Thanks.
What's up, man? How are you?
So, although I'm getting lost in the weeds and all this technicality stuff.
Yeah, you and me both.
Though, to provide us some clarity, at least.
All right. But I, as far as Horford, yeah, I think we got to keep him. Irving, I think, was the problem. I loved Irving. I gave him a chance, Wiggy. I wanted to give him a chance, but mm-hmm. I think he ruined the chemistry. Now, I think we need Al Horford, but we obviously need a Karl Anthony Towns type or LaMarcus Aldridge type, or they're just going to be in the same boat they've been in the last few years. And one other point, I'll let you guys talk about it, if I may, please.
Please, you may.
When I was watching the games, and I watched a lot of it, I did not notice Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum pass the ball to you-know-who, that's Gordon Hayward, once. Also, what I also noticed, they didn't pass the ball all season, but at the end of the playoffs there, Hayward was at the line making some free throws. You know how the guys come up behind, they give them a little slap on the hands and all that?
Yep.
Brown and Tatum were both on the court. They came nowhere near Hayward. I don't know if I'm reading something into that, but they didn't pass the ball all season that I saw, and they didn't seem to like him. So the chemistry was ruined by them. And also, there's only one basketball. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're great one-on-one or two-on-two, but they got to go back to playing five-on-five, boys. There's only one ball and five players.
Well, Rama, and that's something that's been reported now in the aftermath of the season. Jackie McMullen had it a couple weeks ago that the younger guys on that team, who I would assume, you know, would be Tatum and Brown and Rozier to an extent, did not like and were upset that Brad Stevens tried to shoehorn Gordon Hayward into this lineup early in the season when clearly he wasn't up to snuff. So maybe that did trickle on into the court.
I think that was more of an issue that people didn't talk about, was their relationship, Jaylen and Tatum's relationship with Gordon Hayward.
Oh, and Brad Stevens, too, and the lack of communication.
Yes, and I think that was more of an issue than the Cole Kyrie Irving thing. That's why I think a lot of their frustration came from, especially when they looked and go, okay, here's how we performed last year. Here's what we were able to do when Hayward wasn't out there playing. I mean, we know what we were able to do with Kyrie because we played pretty much, you know, the chunk of the first season with him. But then once Gordon Hayward came into the picture, I think that was more of an issue than anything.
But that's why I think it's important for the Celtics, where everything that could have gone wrong, dating back to Hayward's injury a year and a half ago, has gone wrong, and you add the Kyrie stuff into it as well. That's why I think it's important from a perception standpoint to sign Kemba Walker, to bring back Al Horford and say, yes, as broken as it seemed to be here for the last 12 months or so, look at that. We are right back in the mix in the Eastern Conference, getting two big-time free agents, getting another max guy in Kemba Walker to replace our lost max guy in Kyrie Irving.
Oh, you're talking
Horford
about
and Walker. Yeah, granted, everything has gone wrong with the Celtics.
I don't really put Horford into that category. Being a big-time free agent. He's a guy,
the Kings reportedly willing to give him $100 million. Mavericks.
I think the Kemba Walker thing shows, you know, and there were reports that he wanted to play for a team that can contend, a team that can go deep. So I agree that you were able to jump right back into it and to get a good player in Kemba Walker, who is a free agent, to come to Boston and play. That kind of debunked all that, you know, theory of good players don't want to come here for whatever reason, nightlife,
right,
this and all that other nonsense. You were able to get a very, very good player, and you were able to get him to come to Boston without a trade or anything, and he chose, well, that's what we initially think. So if you're the Celtics, I think you're happy about that. You get now Horford back as just a guy that you've already had that probably says, hey, you know what, I'd rather be on playing for a contender than playing in Sacramento.
Matt in Providence is on Kemba Walker. What's up, Matt?
How's it going? It's Pat in Providence.
Oh, Pat. No worries, man. What's up?
I'm going to make it quick and let you guys debate. I would never go and sign Kemba Walker, give him a Supermax contract, as the Nets have renounced the rights to D'Angelo Russell. I would pick him up for less money, fill the rest of the roster out, and you're not tied up on cap long term. you no point in staying in the middle of the pack if you don't land Al Horford too, because that's the worst place to be in the NBA. You might as well either go down for a year and fill out the rest of your roster and give it to D'Angelo Russell, keep a young core, and not have be tied up in money like that.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting point. I mean, the Celtics would give Walker, again, a four-year deal worth $141 million, which would, you know, basically, if the sign and trade did not happen, they would only have the $4.8 million exception and then minimum, you know, veteran minimums right. contracts they can hand out.
But doesn't,
so,
but doesn't the, does because he's talking about Russell.
Signing Russell over Kemba Walker.
But there were also, but the reports out there with Kyrie going to Brooklyn that the Nets were just going to make him an unrestricted free right. agent, right? So wouldn't he be getting a max deal?
I think D'Angelo Russell would get a lot of money, yeah. I'm not quite sure if he would get Kemba Walker, but...
Okay, so let's call Kemba Walker's money 4 years, what, 140?
141, yeah.
So where would D'Angelo Russell be? Is he getting 4 years, $100 million? I mean...
I think he's in that range, for sure.
All right,
I
so,
do.
So then, you know...
It's not that big of a difference.
So it's not a big difference then.
I don't think it is. I mean, for let's say it's $40 million or so and as the difference.
I mean, and now it's $40 million. Is that big in basketball? I mean, I don't really know the whole salary. We need Glenn Ordway to Texas
again. Big O, let's go.
But I do agree with the caller that I would rather have D'Angelo Russell for less money, who's younger, that, you know, could potentially... Yeah, get to the same type of level as Kemba Walker?
But look at this. I'm just reading from The Ringer. Quick scouring report on D'Angelo Russell, who, yeah, I've seen play a little bit, and I know he had a few issues with Swaggy P there, Nick Young, yes. in Los Angeles. But he averaged 21.1 points per game this year and 7 assists, but he had the second lowest true shooting percentage in the league. He's also prone to make mistakes. His erratic play can make important possessions feel like you're riding in a car held together by duct tape. Okay, like not a great analogy there. But the point is, so the scouting report on Russell is a lot of people been criticizing Kemba Walker for not being an efficient scorer at point guard. Seems like D'Angelo Russell is even worse.
Yeah, but he's younger.
And he's younger, but he makes more mistakes.
Well,
and,
you know, I'm reading here on this one thing, last minute field goal percentage for Kemba Walker. Field goal percentage in the last minutes of games or overtime when scoring margin is not greater than 5 points.
All right, I'm into it.
And his field goal percentage is 32%.
Kemba Walker.
Mm.
Well, who is he playing with in Charlotte, though? That's my question. Well, now you got Tatum, you got Brown, you got Hayward.
No, but when we're talking
Crawford,
about,
maybe.
This is a pretty good stat because it's really about what that person is like in the clutch, right?
Yeah.
So you want to see what...
Well, he took a Hornets team to the playoffs twice who, you know, have absolutely nobody. Frank Kaminsky was the second best guy,
I'm not saying that, but we talked about the closer, right? When we see it in baseball, you know, Red Sox don't have a bullpen.
They do not.
In basketball, you need a guy that can close. We've seen Kyrie Irving close before, even though the one caller wanted me to give him a list of games.
Still waiting for that list,
yeah, Wiggy. Well, I told them I gave him the December 26th game when they played against the Houston Rockets where he closed out. But when you look at that, you know, we would say that Kyrie's a better player than Kemba. And how far is D'Angelo Russell away from Kemba Walker as a player? So if you could get D'Angelo Russell for less money, would that have been a smarter choice? Now maybe you could use that money in other places.
We have, is this Luke and Eastie? What's going on?
Which way are we going?
Hello?
What's going on, man?
How are we?
We're doing well. What's up?
All right. So I don't know all this hype about Kemba. Kemba? Are you kidding me? Frank Kaminsky is who we should be looking at.
Frank Kaminsky instead of Kemba Walker?
Wow.
Yes.
Give me the case here. I'm curious to hear this, my man.
I remember seeing him play for the play for Wisconsin. So,
Wisconsin, Big Ten basketball.
Yeah. Unbelievable player in college, okay?
So yes.
When he was in college, he carried that team with great leadership. I'm pretty sure a couple Final Four appearances, am I right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, Frank, he's a great player. Seven
Frank the Tank.
Two.
Great nickname,
too. We need that. Are we re-signing Al Horford?
If the sign and trade goes down, the door opens up to re-sign Horford. It does. Bird rights. Yes, they can use the bird rights. Luke's lost like us.
Yeah, it's like, what are the bird rights?
Thanks.
Maybe. Okay. Not just Frank. Maybe we get Kemba and Frank Kaminsky.
Both.
I'm not a big fan of Horford.
No.
Well, Frank Kaminsky last year, 47 games and 8 points? 6 points a game.
He was hurting and not great when he was. He's a role player. Frank the Tank is a role player in the NBA.
I think he was a good college basketball player that's just going to turn into another Scribini in the NBA.
Here's why I say it's important for the Celtics to bring back Horford, because this is the list of big men who are out there in the free agent market. You have Enes Kanter, who is reportedly expected to take a phone call with the Celtics once free agency begins in a couple hours. So you have Enes Kanter probably at the top of the group here. Then you have Robin Lopez, Trey Lyles from Denver, Willie Cauley-Stein in Sacramento, Kevin Looney from the Warriors, Kyle O'Quinn, Indiana, played just 8 minutes per game for them off their bench.
I like Cauley-Stein. I like him. He's an athletic big. I think he would fit good.
He is. He averaged about 12 points a game last year. Lots of rebounds. That's not a bad option.
But good rim protector.
Good, and with the full mid-level, perhaps you could get. I don't know if he's signing for the $4.8 million exception. Nene, my favorite Nene, is now 37. Hard to believe.
He's too old. He played for the Rockets last year. He's still with the Rockets.
He's out there. Then Joakim Noah's out there. Kenneth Faried, JaVale McGee. So not a lot of great options.
No. But for that, but do you don't really need... I guess you don't really need a big man when you're talking about a team that's going to be God-heavy. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Now, I know they're a different team, but they don't really have a traditional big.
No, I mean Draymond Green, who's more of a forward,
So he's not. They don't have a traditional big. And then who's the big that they bring off the bench? It was DeMarcus Cousins at times, and then it was the European guy, the one who.
Well, that's a question too. Boogie Cousins, if he does not return to Golden State, is he somebody who maybe? Let's say that this sign and trade does not work out, and you have Kemba Walker here, and you again only have this $4.8 million exception.
I think he gets more than that, though.
But what if maybe the market dries up for Boogie Cousins?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he played well enough in the finals, where I think there's going to be a decent market for him to maybe not get a long-term deal, but definitely a one-year type, deal that's going to be worth, $12 million to show that, hey, I'm back off the
injury. He had some goaltending issues, though, in the finals. Once you overlook that.
I would take him in a heartbeat. I'd take Boogie Cousins.
Now, but if you're Boogie Cousins, right, you could say a one-year deal. I'm making $4.8 in Boston or $12 million on a team that's going nowhere. Why wouldn't I take less money to get with the Celtics, get a playoff run under my belt, more exposure, more national games, and then rebuild my value that way and make more money back end?
I'd rather the Boogie Cousins than Al Horford.
Especially for the money, but then a lot has to fall with Boogie Cousins. I mean, that's going to be a process. You have to see how the market plays out.
I'm just saying, if hypothetically you could get Boogie Cousins for less money, or you could keep Al Horford for 4 years, $100 million, I'd rather get Boogie for less money.
Sean's in Idaho on this. Hey, Sean.
Hello, and good afternoon there, gentlemen. It's already almost evening where you guys are at. Where
it is.
1:23 p.m. here.
Correct.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
You're 3 hours behind
great
us.
Show. Yeah, that's right. But I always enjoy your guys' show because I like WEI a lot. You're welcome. First off, I got to start off with the Red Sox real quickly before I get to the Celtics. Well, you guys were mentioning when I was hearing the show a little bit about keeping Mookie Betts as an option. Absolutely. I would say, try to lock him up. But another thing I'm kind of concerned about, I've been talking with a lot of my friends back east in Massachusetts about it since I've been to Boston before. It was a wonderful experience I had. And one of my friends was saying, why wouldn't J.D. Martinez possibly look at opting out? Look, in my view, in my opinion, he should not opt out. And I'll tell you why. Not just because I want him to stay with the Red Sox. It's just that look at what happened with Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell and how long it took for them to find another team. And then the other thing
J.D. Martinez, though, is a hitter and, less risk long-term with signing hitters than pitchers.
But, here's what I'm kind of getting at, okay? After David Ortiz retired, okay, we need the big bat. Okay, if you get rid of J.D. Martinez, who's going to be the big bat for the offense for this team? That's going to be the biggest question. And the other thing is, I'm tired of hearing about the excuses from Alex Cora and the Red Sox saying, oh, we'll be fine, we'll be better. No, you're not fine. The team is in bad shape. Tampa Bay won. The Indians won today. And the Oakland A's are getting better. The Angels aren't too far away. I mean, right now, the Red Sox are a flat-out mess. And, I didn't have any chances of my hopes being up with them going all the way to London, England, to play against arguably one of the best teams in baseball, which is the Yankees, who I can't stand, obviously. But I do believe that they're going to be hitting a losing streak for the Yankees, too, because, the Astros are still dangerous. The Twins, I don't count out. And, the Rays are good. And, of course, the Dodgers are on a mission, it seems like, this year to really want to win the whole thing.
So what do you think the play is, Sean? So Wiggy thinks the Red Sox should trade everybody.
I say it's time to sell.
Wave the white flag. I say Dombrowski, get two relievers here before you get back into the States. Well, actually going to Toronto. So before you get back to Canada from London, I need two relievers here ASAP. Where do you fall, Sean?
You could be right. You know, selling the team is a possibility when July 31st gets here. We just have to see exactly what's going to happen because they're going to be on the road. The Midsummer Classic is coming up, and then they open up against the best team in baseball, which is the Dodgers. And then with the Celtics, you know, I'm still celebrating that Kyrie is going to leave because Kyrie was nothing but a cancer and a distraction, and he caused the drama. I said this yesterday. He declared a war against the city of Boston and all of New England because he said all those comments, talk to me July 1st. I didn't like Danny Ainge. I didn't like Brad Stevens, you know, the grudge that he had with Terry Rozier. You know, that's like what I said. That's a Carl Crawford bust. So the Celtics did what was right to get Kemba Walker, who can work with the youth, but they still, in my opinion, they still need more pieces.
Yeah, they absolutely still need rebounders. And that's, right, and that's what it comes down to, Sean. Thanks. I don't think the Kyrie started a war with Boston. I mean, I don't think that. And by the way, publicly, he's never said, I don't like Danny Ainge, I don't like Brad Stevens. He's taken subtle shots at Stevens, but never said he doesn't like him.
You have to read that text over the air now.
What text, John?
Hey, the text just went right over the air. I heard it.
Oh, yes, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm missing the joke. Anyway.
He said you have to read the text message. Oh. So we all know. We heard the text, but we don't know what it is.
It's a station rule, Alex.
It's a station rule. No, this is probably from Glenn Ordway.
Hey, as I say, if text messages are sent to me privately, I don't reveal them, Wiggy.
I don't know if you revealed Tomasi. So.
As I've shown many times, you communicate with me privately. That's what I do. But real quick, Kyrie's problem from a perception issue is he says in October, I will resign here if you'll have me.
Yeah, what killed him.
And then he goes back on his word. So that's the issue with Kyrie.
That's the only thing. It's like I told you, Kyrie's like Trump, right? If you don't like what Kyrie stands for, no matter then you're not on his side. If you don't feel like, well, it was all Kyrie to blame, then you're on Kyrie's side. I mean, that's just it's that simple. And I think a lot of it is because of the stuff, not the stuff that he did on the court, you know, except for maybe the Milwaukee series. But I think it was a lot of the stuff that he said. You brought it up, you know, if you'll have me, I'll stay. Then talk to me July 1st. Then it's some of the other things that he said about you know, throwing the young guys under the bus. But at the end of the day, I think it was more of an issue of Brad Stevens not being able to control that locker room.
617-779-7937. So do we have Brian Barrett coming in next or more Wiggy and Reamer? What's the word here, John?
I have not received word that you guys are staying.
Okay.
So I've also not seen Brian Barrett walk through these doors yet. So.
Okay. So, Jermaine, I believe we'll see you tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, 6 to 10.
Okay. Me, Wiggy, and Mutt tomorrow, 6 to 10.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.